You might get thirsty while you're screaming for your life.
The odds, unless we have an earthquake, the odds of your municipal water supply not being there for more than like a couple of hours.
Yeah, unless the Joker's going to poison the supply. Or exactly. Or comes to town and decides to crash the dam.
Yeah, you're more likely to have to worry about bacteria shutting down, making your water undrinkable and having to boil it than you are the water not being there. Like, power goes out. We get it. It still happens.
Yeah.
Your phones can go out. The internet can go out. The water is
feces. And also mold.
Yeah.
Mold will kill you.
Like, where do you live that the storm, the winter storm comes and the water's gone?
Mm.
And if the winter storm comes and the water's gone,
you should go too.
Take a look out the back door.
Yeah.
Is there snow? Guess what? You got water.
That's right.
You know.
Make snow cones. I'm still up with that slushy idea.
What they should say is get to the Packy before 11, because after that everything's gone.
Yeah. Basically, I think that's how people prepare now. They just get drunk. That's what we saw with COVID-19.
Yeah.
People are just like, I'm going to day drink. I'm just going to get drunk. Like, okay. And then everybody's wandering around in their jammies all the time. It's a weird world we're in now.
There's nothing worse than walking into the Packy, you know, the day before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And all that's there is like a couple of bottles of Cuervo Light that nobody wanted. A
couple Purple Passions.
Whatever Mad Dog weird flavor. Whatever weird flavor Bailey's they put out that past Christmas.
A little eggnog moonshine.
And Cossack vodka.
Oh, Cossack. I liked that old New England eggnog. I was pretty surprised.
Liquid evil.
I was like, that was pretty good. I had one of those before Christmas. It's pretty good.
This may be the first year that I I'm pretty sure I did get a bottle of it.
Yeah.
I want to say I did not get a bottle because my holiday tradition is at some point, usually like between Thanksgiving and mid-December, is to drink a bottle of this stuff and just go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, just completely, like, you drink a bottle of that stuff, you're flying.
Yeah.
And I usually can't get through a bottle of it. There's usually, like, an inch left at the bottom that you wind up throwing out after Christmas because you can't do anything with it.
Hey, Valentine's Day's coming up. You never know.
Yeah.
Bring out the rest of that bottle.
It's not enough to have any effect on you.
Yeah.
And it's just going to congeal if you leave it there. So it's like, all right, there's that bottom inch.
I did have to open up a can of meat. It was actually, it just said beef on it. Because I didn't get my groceries for the first couple of weeks. And I was just like, well, you know what? I'm going to go into the cabinets and I'm gonna try some things that I haven't tried. Basically food that I haven't had in a while that was just sitting there. For some reason, I put it on the shelf and I never thought of it again.
Why didn't you just get the groceries delivered?
Well, I was going to. I did do that once. But then I'm like, well, I got some beef in there. And,
okay.
I was more curious on what was actually inside the beef. So I opened it up. It looked like it was Spam almost, except it was, you know how there's like chicken fat on the top of like chicken noodle soup?
Yeah.
It was about maybe an inch thick of that. And it was also like a little jelly. You know how the Spam gets like a little jelly on it?
That's where the flavor is.
And it was all like this, you know, it looked like beef, of course, but it also looked like tuna or Spam, except it was brown. And I cut it all up, and I put a little rice together, and then I was ate it, and I'm like, this is awful. I'm ordering a pizza. And that was the first and the last time I got the canned beef. Forget it. I thought it would be good for tacos or something.
I've never seen it here.
Yeah.
But when I lived on the West Coast, they used to have this stuff in supermarkets.
Mm.
It's called Chicken Ready.
Oh, yeah.
Canned whole chicken.
Yeah.
And it was a whole cooked chicken in a can.
Yeah, yeah.
With like whatever, you know, brine or whatever they put around it.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
A whole chicken?
That's what it is. And it's a big can.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking like, you know.
Bones and all.
You know those big olive oil cans they have?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Imagine one that size with a chicken in it.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that they sell in California.
Yeah.
I never bought it. I think if I'd lived out there. It's like a science experiment. If I'd actually lived out there long enough to have that stretch of days where you're just bored and you don't care anymore and you're just doing goofy stuff for the sake of doing goofy stuff, I probably would have had the canned whole chicken.
Phew.
But I never hit that that point.
To me, I'd have like flashbacks of biology in high school when we were doing the fetal pig. I was awful. Well, I'm like, oh my God, this is awful.
Well, it's like the rotisserie chicken. You go and you buy that. This one just happens to be in a can.
We had to dissect a pig in biology. It was just awful. Almost made me a vegetarian.
I did that twice, actually.
Then I had bacon. I was fine again.
Because I was one of the smart kids, there was a little group of us that got to dissect the pig when I was in elementary school.
Yeah, that was me.
I was in like fifth or sixth grade.
Oh, elementary school.
Yeah, I was in like fifth or sixth grade.
I was in 10th grade, but it was AP biology, which was in preparation for college. It gave me college credits.
So when I was in high school and taking anatomy and we did it again, I'd already done it. I'm like, oh, I know my way around these things. I'm slicing it up and it's like, here's all the guts. Yay. Yeah. You know.
Ugh, awful.
Then you watch horror movies. Come on.
I know, but it's still awful. I feel bad for the pig.
It's a fetal pig.
Yeah, but it's awful.
No, the pig never pig never lived. The pig never knew life.
I don't know.
You know,
I have feelings. I'm not cold.
I don't think you were that motivated by concern for the pig.
It was pretty awful.
I really don't. You know,
it was pretty awful. And then of course you have people doing things. You know. Like dancing with their pig and stuff while they're doing it and putting hats on it and stuff. Everyone was like, we were in 10th grade. So, you know, weren't that advanced, you know? Yeah. Everybody was smart, but we're still idiots.
Oh, yeah. Because you're kids. You know, that's what kids do.
You know. But I remember one of the coolest things was my friend Brian. He had a pair of goggles and he made a big star on one of them. So when he put them on, he had the Paul Stanley goggles. Paul Stanley from Kiss. So we had that for the rest of the year. So if somebody, every once in a while, somebody would get lucky and we'd put them in different drawers.
Nice.
And you'd open it up and somebody would have the Paul Stanley goggles for the day. It went all around the class.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you got for us? You got a nice next track?
Let me see if I can find it.
What is this track?
You know what I want to do with one of these episodes? Because I never got to do this on my old radio show.
What's that?
And I was planning to do this at one point. If you remember the old Hear It Wow intro.
Yes.
I broke down all of the individual pieces that are in that promo and separated them all out. And what I really wanted to do at one point was to do a show where I just go through and say, these are all the cuts. This is how it all came together. These are all the things that made this up.
Sure.
Because I always thought that would be kind of fun to do.
Well, I remember asking you at one point if Al Gore was one of them, and you're like, no, it's not Al Gore. It sounded just like him.
Yeah.
It's like Happy Motoring. That guy was an older one.
That's Art. No. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
Because that came off of a cassette that came with your Ford. So if you bought a Ford car that had a cassette player, you got a cassette tape with it. And most of the tracks on it were just audio. They were like a selection of songs.
Yeah.
But the first one was telling you how wonderful your new Ford radio is.
Nice.
So I've got one here that is not from that. You like pinball. I like pinball.
Sure.
I've played this in the past in various... It varies. I think we played this on the Thanksgiving battle one year. Pinball machines and everything else got digital voices back in the early 1980s. And to promote this, they sent a flexi-disc record, which was a record printed on a piece of plastic that you could put on a record player and it would work. They sent these out to arcade owners and distributors all over the country to get people excited for their new pinball machine.
Sure.
Gorgar speaks. Gorgar speaks of the ultimate challenge, of never before playing power, of untold mystery. Gorgar speaks to you.
Me, Gorgar. Me, live.
The voice of Gorgar speaks of a first, of a breakthrough, of a feat that will never again know the same significance. Because Gorgar speaks. Gorgar is the first and only talking pinball game, given life and breath by Williams Electronics.
Me, Gorgar. Beat me.
The mighty words of Gorgar thunder, echoing throughout the pinball world, and the message is strong and clear. With the advent of Gorgar, it is no longer player versus machine. It is player versus monster.
Me, Gorgar. See me. Hear me. Feel my power.
Gorgar speaks of a whole new dimension in play, of tantalizing excitement and irresistible appeal, of setting new profit records never dared to be dreamed of before. Gorgar speaks of supremacy, of a magic that could be created only by a monster that speaks. Only by a monster with a pulsating, beating heart that builds and pounds with player excitement and urges play on with every beat. Of a monster that comes alive with each flick of the wrist, each snap, each scoring drive.
Me, Gorgar. Me got you. Me not let go. Beat Gorgar.
Gorgar's words speak of challenge. Of a challenge that cannot be denied.
Me, Gorgar. Hear me. My words are for you.
Gorgar speaks. Listen to the sound. Hear the words. Feel the incredible playing and profit power that only Williams Electronics could generate. Because when Gorgar speaks, the industry listens.
Nice.
Too bad that pinball machine sucked. Have you ever played Gorgar?
I have played Gorgar.
Yeah, Gorgar is not very good.
It's pretty wild looking, though. It looks like there's like a demon and like there's a lady on a table, like it's some kind of sacrifice or something,
yeah,
right?
It,
Williams
it's,
Electronics.
It's definitely like that like 1970s like fantasy,
yeah,
kind of thing with like, you know, women in loincloths and, yeah, you know, being threatened by beastly creatures as heroic men in loincloths run to their rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole like male fantasy thing. But as a pinball machine, it's
loincloth should come back, yeah.
The heartbeat on it was great. Gorgar didn't speak much.
I love the look of him though, because it's like this demon and it's really creepy. So, you know, you figure all the metalheads played that pinball machine,
yeah,
you know? It's like anybody who was into metal has definitely played Gorgar.
Yeah, they knew their market. They absolutely knew their market with the with that machine. But it just doesn't play well.
I believe there's still one left up at the fun spot up there in near Weir's Beach. I believe there's one still up there. But it was also very dark and it had like a lot of red lights and things like that,
yeah,
from what I remember. It was kind of creepy looking.
They had,
it was pretty cool.
They had one at Pinball Wizard up in...
Yeah, I never got to go there.
Oh,
yeah, I heard it was amazing.
God, that place was heaven.
Yeah, I wonder what they did with all the old machines.
Just heaven. Apparently, like one collector bought a bunch of them and there is now, I think it was in Plasto, there's a members-only pinball club up there.
Yeah.
And you can become a member, and they give you a key card, and they got all the pinball machines in a big,
it's awesome,
Quonset hut or something up there.
Yeah.
And you can go in and you can play the pinball machines.
Wow, I was in Vegas, and this is just an idea, but I was in Vegas, and they had a like a prohibition bar, and it was just like it was a mall, and you walked through the mall, and there was a stack of books, and you opened up the door. And it was a secret door that went into the Prohibition Bar. And that would have been such a cool addition there to throw in a bunch of pinball machines in the back there. It'd be such a cool idea. Just open up and have like a side arcade. In Texas, in the arcade that I went down there, it was like a... I forget what it was called. It was called like the Gold Mine is what it was called. And when I lived in Austin, Texas in the early 80s, It was in a mall, and you opened up the door, and you had to go downstairs to like a cellar, and that's where all the arcade and all the machines were, and it was in the dark. Everything was dark, and there was actually a smoke machine and stuff. I'm like,
nice.
This is cool. This is a cool arcade.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I miss those.
I remember the dawn of the arcade, as I'm sure you do, being up in Canada.
Yeah.
I think we were in Ottawa. I think this was in Ottawa. That there were just, you'd walk around the corner and there'd just be this massive arcade full of Space Invaders and pinball machines.
Oh, right. There'd be like 10, 15 Space Invader machines lined up.
Because there were only a couple of arcade games at that point, but they were making money like crazy, so everybody went out and bought dozens of them.
Yeah, nobody waited in line. People just kept playing.
And then you got the evolution to the mall arcades, where they'd take a storefront at the mall, Fun Time up at North Shore was the one that I used to go to all the time, and they'd have like one of each machine.
Yeah.
And you'd have to wait an hour. Everybody puts their quarter on the glass, waits your turn, and you'd have to wait an hour to play for like 3 minutes and die, and the next person comes in. And it was, you know, it was better when you had like a few games and there were like a dozen machines, no waiting.
Did you have a parent or parents that would say, okay, only 2 hours at the arcade, or could you just take a quarter and go down there all day?
It was pretty much like if we were going to the mall and there was an arcade in the mall, they knew where I was going.
Yeah.
And it was, we're going to meet back here at 3 o'clock.
Sure.
Like, they'd go do whatever they wanted to do. I'd be in the arcade for every possible minute.
Yeah. The only other thing I would do is the bookstore. I'd do the arcade and the bookstore. Those were the two places I'd go.
They also knew if they couldn't find me, I'd be in the arcade.
Yeah.
And they'd come looking for me, and they'd be like, you're 20 minutes late. It's like, oh, hi.
Yeah. The ones that were by
your mother's
themselves,
furious.
Though, were pretty awesome. Like the Grand Prix in Tewksbury was amazing because they had like the separate cars and stuff. But usually if you had an arcade out on its own, like when I was down in Austin too, there was a roller skating rink at the arcade, and that was awesome. That was really fun. I mean, Friday, Saturday nights. And they do stuff during the week, too. You know, you go in and get free shoes or you get to play free games for an hour. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And it's like, unfortunately, those places, they just don't exist anymore.
But no.
They were pretty much safe places, too. I mean, there were no fights happening at those places.
No. There was always some, like, creepy old guy hanging around, like, looking at the kids, you know. But, yeah, no, nobody was fighting. Nobody was – because you had to cooperate at the arcade.
Yeah.
You had to put your quarter on the glass and wait your turn.
Yeah.
You couldn't, because if you went in and caused trouble, you were out.
Yeah.
Like the guy, the creepy old guy running the place was not putting up with any crap from these kids, and you're out of there.
That's right. That's right. And there's usually only one person there. Well, there's a little spoiler alert what's coming. I got a couple of things that are pretty exciting on here. I actually, since we were talking about meat, I got a little curious. And since it is what is this, let's listen to a few minutes of how factories produce canned meat. Mm. So this is how canned meat is made. You're listening to What Is This with Chris and Derek on WMFO in Medford.
With so much on their plates, busy people rely on shortcuts to help prepare meals. Nowadays, you can stock your pantry with cans of pre-cooked meat, so there's always something on hand to use in sandwiches, stews, stir-fries, and other tasty dishes. This canned meat is meticulously hand-produced by a craft cannery and made in small batches. It contains no artificial ingredients or preservatives, just meat and sea salt. When a shipment of meat arrives at the cannery, the quality control manager records its lot code for tracking purposes. As a food safety precaution, he confirms the temperature of the meat, which must come in between 0 to 39 degrees Fahrenheit. A skilled butcher then inspects the meat and trims off the excess fat. If it's a large piece, the butcher slices it into smaller pieces so that it can pass through the dicing machine. The dicer cuts the meat into 1-inch cubes. At the filling station, aluminum cans circulate around a rotating table. As one worker shovels cubed meat onto the center of the table, others manually fill cans while simultaneously performing a quality inspection. Workers will discard any cubes that are discolored or too fatty. Next, technicians place a single cube of sea salt in each can filled with meat. This is the only added ingredient. At the next station, workers weigh each can individually and either add or remove meat to reach the required weight. The filled cans now travel on a conveyor belt to the cook room. There, they enter the preheater, which blasts them with steam for 20 seconds. This expels air that's trapped between the cubes of meat. Next, the cans move into the closing machine. The machine compresses the meat to provide sufficient clearance at the top of the can. This headspace creates a vacuum on the can to draw out the remaining air. Then, a device attaches the lid by a process known as double seaming. The process rolls the edges of the lid and can together, forming a rim that provides an airtight seal. It's time to get cooking. A worker lowers the cans into a commercial-sized pressure cooker. Cooking under steam pressure produces the tenderizing effects of slow cooking in a fraction of the time. The meat cooks in its own juices. The cooking temperature varies depending on the type of meat and the can size. When the meat is ready, the technician removes the cans and sets them aside for about an hour to cool and dry. The cans are then moved to the packaging area. As a worker loads the labeling machine, he inspects each can for dents or damaged seals. One by one, the cans roll over a glue applicator, then a stack of labels, wrapping themselves in the top seal. At the same time, the machine counts the number of cans. After rolling off the labeling machine, the cans pass through an inkjet printer, which applies the best used-by date. That date is next to the lot code, which the closing machine printed while attaching the lid. This can of meat has a 5-year shelf life due to two crucial factors. It is cooked properly, and the can seal is airtight.
And
I used to be hooked on that show.
Yeah?
How It's Made? Great, great, great.
Pretty cool, huh?
Whenever life gets to be too much, like, go find whoever's streaming How It's Made and watch a couple episodes.
Yeah. Why not?
Because it's just like relaxing factory porn.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's factory porn and it's relaxing and it's, but man, I'm not testing that 5-year shelf life on canned meat.
I don't want to work in that factory. I'm like, this guy is like stuffing, there's like a giant rotating wheel with all the meat and he's like pushing it into the cans with his hands. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, me and the girlfriend at the time,
crunchy.
We had this romantic thought of going up to Alaska for the summer and going to the canneries and working there, and maybe going out on the boats and doing the Alaskan king crab. And this was way before, most dangerous, the deadliest catch. And I'm so glad we didn't do that because we would have probably ended up with a couple of fingers less.
Yeah, you would have lasted 2 minutes on one of those boats. I mean, those things are brutal.
Yeah, yeah. We would have, we probably would have died. But I remember those were always in the college papers. And it was just like, come and work at the Alaskan fisheries, the canneries for the summer. Me and my girlfriend are like, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's like, we'd go see Alaska. And it's like, the other part of it was, no. This was way before all the, crazy shows that showed you what it was really like. But you know, we had this romanticism of how we were going to go away for the summer and make some money and get to spend time with one another. And then we're like, no, that's a bad idea. Let's just drink with our friends.
Spend your time exhausted, like, you know, and bleeding from the lost fingers.
And then that was it. And then she cheated on me and that was over.
Nice.
So I'm glad I didn't go to Alaska and lose fingers for her. You know, it was kind of, I should have known better. I didn't learn anything from that. And that was like 30 years ago. I just continued to make the same mistakes. Like, let's go to Alaska, baby.
You saw Banshees of Inisherin.
I did. Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Great movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it was a little too dark. And I'm a person who likes dark, but it was a little too dark.
It you have to buy into what the movie gives you, and you know it really, really pushes its luck.
Yeah,
as it goes on, but it is a pitch black comedy.
Yeah, when he's throwing the fingers at the door, it's like, yeah, this is a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is good, and it's very funny. It's very funny. But I think the darkness kind of pulls away the comedy of it. And, I mean, I'm all for, beating somebody over the head to make a point if they don't listen, but that did a little much, you know? I saw Everything All at Once last night.
What'd you think of that?
I loved it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite movie so far.
Yes,
I haven't seen a good movie in a long time, and that was probably my favorite movie in a while.
If I have a problem with it, because I have to have a problem with everything.
It's a little too crazy. And it's a little too juvenile.
It is so stuffed.
Yeah.
It is so stuffed.
There's too much stuff in it.
It's a little bit like Ready Player One, where...
I liked Ready Player One. Mostly the beginning.
There is so much going on in every scene that you can't really orient yourself to it. And you've got to watch it once and then go watch it again so that it slows down and you can start unpacking the details of it.
Yeah.
Because those race scenes in Ready Player One and the whole bit at the end where the assault is taking place, there's just references on top of references on top of references.
Yeah.
And this does the same thing. Everything Everywhere All at Once does the same thing, but there's a great, great story in the middle of it, and that story is what kind of carries you through.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and there were parts that I was actually kind of, I actually had a little cry there at a couple of points, because it really does say a lot about everybody and the times that we're living in now, and it's very much a movie.
Yes.
It's very much a movie, and it's something you haven't seen at the movies in a long time.
It's
an actual movie.
Whatever you think it is, it's not. Go see it.
Yeah.
And just, even if you read a synopsis of it, go see it, because nothing will prepare you for the experience of it.
Yeah. It is a lot. And there's a lot of it where I'm like, oh my God, it's like enough with the fighting. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you get to the point where it's like, all right, enough with the kung fu. But and it's a long movie. And usually I have no problem with the length of a movie. As long as it's a good movie, I enjoy it. But there were a few points where I'm just like, geez, what is happening here? And it's funny because it's linked into three parts. And that was also very clever because you're like, okay, part one, the title doesn't come for about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And then part one goes almost the entire movie. And then it says part two.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God, where is this
what
going?
What is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was just some very clever stuff in there. But there was a lot that was just kind of like kitchen sink, throw it out there. There's so much in that movie. And I think it has a lot to say, and it also has nothing to say. And that's what it was also very clever about it. There's a lot of stuff that's really extraneous, and that's kind of the point that I got in the movie, too. It's really a good movie. I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't think it's fantastic. It's not like a letter grade A for me, but I'd give it at least a B+. I enjoyed it, and I'd watch it again.
If you enjoyed the endless intensity of Uncut Gems from the Safdie brothers a couple of years ago, you will love this.
Yeah.
If you thought Ready Player One was too slow for you, you will love this. If the ADD in video form of Encanto was a little too much for you, this isn't nearly as bad as that.
Yeah, I never saw Encanto.
Don't see Encanto.
Oh, no, I watched half of it with my baby niece.
You can't watch the whole thing because you lose interest in it partway through because it's shortening your attention span.
Yeah.
Like, it never stops moving. It literally never stops moving.
Kihei Kwan, short round from Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom. Awesome.
Great.
He's fantastic in it. Everybody, and Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic.
Jamie Lee Curtis is amazing in that movie.
Yeah, she's great. And very, very good. And also kind of the jaded everyday person in that movie, because she's the one person that doesn't really know what the hell's going on compared to everything else. Everybody else kind of gets in on it, and she's kind of in the dark for the entire movie.
She plays entirely against type for a good chunk of the movie, and it's surprising to see her play that kind of a role, because she's always been, you know, the great-looking, tough, scrappy Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
The toughness is there.
She's frumpy.
Yeah.
She's still tough, but she's frumpy.
She's a frumpy middle-aged woman.
And she's miserable.
Woman.
She's miserable.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. It's a great movie. And Michelle Yeoh was great. Too.
Michelle Yeoh is fantastic in it. James Wong is in it. He's fantastic in it.
Yeah.
And all of these characters do like really wild 180 degree turns in the movie.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to it. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, pretty good. I still want to see Avatar. I haven't seen that yet. Fablemans, I didn't really like too much. Nope. It was okay.
I can live without the Avatars.
All Quiet on the Western Front, I still haven't seen. Elvis, I did not like for a whole bunch of different reasons. There were some great parts in it, especially when they did the stage stuff. But otherwise, there were so many things that Elvis did not do that it bothered me. This is kind of interesting. You might have heard this, like The Last of Us. It's on HBO.
Haven't seen it yet, but I plan to watch it because I played the game and I love the game.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They had a thing the other day on BZ, and they were actually having a Talking Heads moment where they were asking people about the latest episode because it's in Boston. However, there is a giant road leading to the State House, and about 10 miles away where it's supposed to be Lexington, there are mountains, like the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
So some people are on there like, I don't care, it's entertainment, blah, blah, blah. And then there's other people like, that's stupid. And I'm in the field, and you're probably in the same field, where we're huge fans of movies and film, and also directors getting everything right.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't say it's Boston and then have mountains 10 miles away or a road leading to the State House.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like, call it a different place. Why is it Boston?
To be fair, it's accurate to the game.
Yeah.
Which is one of these games that, it's in Boston. We're going to put the State House in there and it's Boston.
Sure. But in the game, it's a little bit in the future, right?
No, is it
present?
They never tell you exactly what it is, near future.
Yeah.
So apparently they've bulldozed the common and put the road into the State House.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of that is crazy.
Yeah. But there's no mountains growing.
No, there's no mountains. They don't have the new statue.
Right.
Over in the common.
Hmm.
The Martin Luther King statue.
Oh, God, let's talk about that. Talk about everyday horrors. We were off the air when that happened. I'm like, what is this thing? It looks like a donut or like a chocolate glazed donut.
I adore
what
that.
What is this?
I adore that statue and all of the titters
that
it brings.
Oh, my God, no. Yes. Oh, there you go. That's why you adore it, because it brings some titters.
Yes, all the titters that it brings. I love it.
What ridiculous. I mean, come on, what happened to a bust? Just put up a big bust. There you go.
You can't do that anymore.
That's not art anymore.
Because you know what happens?
Here's my left nostril. Let's put that in the center of the park for everyone to enjoy.
Here's what happens. 150 years from now, black men are the new white men, right?
Oh, sure.
Where they're responsible for everything that's wrong in society, and we have to tear all their statues down.
I don't know if we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We're heading there.
We won't be around.
We won't be around.
I just want to play a couple more
games. I'll be in Canada.
Watch a couple of movies.
I
have a little sex.
I kind of like the statue, but...
I can't stand it. I think it looks awful.
That one view.
Yeah.
Because the funny thing about it is, you have the artist sitting there doing an interview with one of the local TV stations, and there is a model, like a little mock-up model of the statue in back of them.
Yeah.
Turned to that view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cast in plastic or plaster or something, so it's all white. And you sit there and you look at it, sitting in the background of this shot between two of the people who put this thing up.
Yeah.
And it's very clearly a penis.
Yeah.
You sit there and you look at it, you're like, that's a penis.
Nah,
how did no one see this?
Yeah.
How did no one see this?
Nobody's looking at it for a big black penis. Nobody's looking at that. They're looking at the arms. The arms, like, they just never end, though, right? I haven't been in there to look at it.
Have you given it a good look, a good stare? I haven't been in to look at it either. I've seen plenty of it on television.
I don't know. All I know is I'm probably going to walk around it. That's all that's going to happen.
You can walk through
the park.
It.
I'm going to go.
You can walk under it.
You know what's fun? You go to Chicago and you walk through all the fountains and stuff. See, that's fun. It's like, put in some fountains. Why doesn't Boston have a couple of nice fountains? They got that pond, but that's about it, right?
Yeah.
There's always goose crap all over.
You know, you can't do fountains in this city. You know why? It's cold.
Yeah. They had ice sculptures.
We're too practical for fountains.
Just keep the ice sculptures up for the whole winter.
There's a couple of fountains around.
I'm going to tell you something. After traveling a lot over the last few years, Boston is one of the worst places when it comes to tourism and doing something for the local community for people to do. Like, you can't, like, you, like in Chicago, if you had Bobby, you can go out and you can do like 20 things for free, like right outside your door. In Boston, there's nothing to do. What are you going to do?
You can walk around the common.
That's about it.
And look at the giant penis.
How interested is he going to be for that? He's not going to be interested in that too long.
You can titter at the giant penis.
Nah, I just think it's awful. You can order Gorgar pinball stickers on something called Red Bubble. Have you been on the Red Bubble?
No, I haven't been on the Red Bubble.
You can get them for $2.02 if you get four or more. They're $2.15. You got to get yourself a Gorgar pinball sticker, and you can put that on your water bottle. Look at that.
Show your love. Oh, wow. That's the Gorgar from the back glass.
Yeah. That's somebody nice. Who listens to Metallica. They'd have that on their water bottle.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But these other Oscar movies, I got to tell you, out of the ones that are nominated, all right, we've got Top Gun. Top Gun, fantastic. Have you seen that? It was awesome.
Best remake of Star Wars that they've done so far.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah, it was. It wasn't really like Star Wars.
Yes, it's a remake.
It was
of
much better than Top Gun.
The climax of the film is the Death Star trench run.
Yes, yes.
It is the Death Star trench run.
Yes. But who's gonna know that anymore in 2022?
Everybody knows Star Wars. I'm sitting there watching this.
You saw it though, right?
I saw it.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm sitting there watching this, and they're describing the mission.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the trench run from Star Wars.
There wasn't much to it. There wasn't much to it. Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, we got to go through this canyon. There's all these things they're gonna shoot at you.
Yeah, but Tom Cruise is doing it.
And then
you got to
pull up at the end of it. And I'm waiting for somebody to stand up and say, it'll be just like bagging womp rats back on Tatooine.
Yeah, Miles Teller's supposed to do that part, but he never did. Instead, he gets shot down. But it was fun. Well, it was also ridiculous. I mean, they find another plane to get out, you know, of their situation, which is just ridiculous. But it was very entertaining.
It's also
a very movie.
I get, absolutely.
Yeah.
Does it say anything about anything?
No.
The stunt flying in the movie is spectacular.
Yeah.
And the performances are good enough. You know the story. You know how the story's going to go.
It's basically, for the list of the movies that are on here, that's the movie that brought movies back to the theater, was Top Gun Maverick.
Really, really,
it wasn't
really.
Tenet. It was Top Gun Maverick.
Really. And Tom Cruise, as I understand, insisted on this.
Yeah.
Really nice moment for Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that was cool.
Who's been going through some stuff.
The Iceman. Well, he lost his voice. He lost his thorax.
Yeah.
What is it called? The larynx?
Yeah, he's been going through
the thorax.
He's been going through some stuff.
That's a Dr. Seuss book, The Thorax.
And Tom Cruise insisted that he be in the movie, and they found a way to work with it.
Yeah.
So I've seen that.
I actually fell asleep during that part, but I got the impression that it was good.
I haven't seen the silent movie.
Which silent movie?
Women Talking.
Oh God! If that were only true,
that's a silent film.
That's a silent movie.
It's a silent film.
That's irony right there.
Yeah, I think it's a silent film.
Come on!
But it's
with Frances McDormand too. She never shuts the hell up.
No, but what happens is men walk in and they immediately tune it out. So it's a silent film.
Yeah.
I've seen everything. So
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Sarah Polley, by the way, who I adore,
directed
Women Talking. So I want to see that.
Yeah, I'll see it. I'm not going to enjoy it, but I'm going to see it.
I've seen everything. I've seen Banshees of Inisherin. Triangle of Sadness.
What's that?
I don't know, but it doesn't sound happy.
No, who wants to see Triangle of Sadness, especially after the last few years?
Is it?
Everybody wants to see Top Gun Maverick. Go see that.
Everybody does want to see Top Gun Madness and it's Top Gun Maverick, and it's like, what the heck is
all
this?
All Quiet on the Western Front. They've already made 7 times.
A couple of
it's great.
A couple of influencers are invited to a luxury cruise ship alongside a group of out of touch wealthy people.
Oh boy, Triagonal Sadness.
The situation takes an unexpected turn when a brutal storm hits the ship. Well, this
oh
is
oh my god, it's going to be like this weekend. If this it's going to get to be 8 degrees,
yeah. If this is like the menu and they're eating each other, I'm into that.
That was okay.
Yeah. Woody Harrelson's in this.
Does he get eaten?
Triangle Sadness.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Woody Harrelson automatically elevates it. Yeah. The Fablemans, I have zero desire to see it.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's very, very Spielberg. It's so careful. It has nothing to say. It tells you nothing about his childhood other than his mother was eccentric.
Yeah.
And he had to leave his family to be a budding filmmaker.
Yeah.
And his mother had an affair. And it's like, there is nothing wrong with any of the people in his family. Like, they're not human. They're just, you know, 2D. Like, he doesn't share anything with you. And I hate celebrities that share nothing. You know, it's like you never get to know who they are.
You know what? Increasingly, I've come to realize his best film is Munich. Have you seen Munich?
Munich's great. Yeah, that's a good movie.
Not only is Munich a great spy thriller, but Spielberg goes way outside of where you expect Spielberg to go in that film.
Yeah.
And you know the scene I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets pretty crazy.
It gets super crazy. It gets like Euro, like impressionist crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of stuff that Gaspar Noé does.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you watch this and you're like, wait, this is a Spielberg film?
Yeah. He should make a sequel called Eunuch.
That'd be good.
That would be pretty fun. Could you get as a star to
All Unit? Quiet on the Western Front, I definitely want to see.
Oh, me too. It's on streaming, though, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't consider that a movie anymore. These ones that are coming straight out to like Apple and Netflix, they're just crappy.
Yeah, but
as a matter of fact, I never even saw last year's Best Picture. It was on Apple TV something, right?
Well,
I had the free trial. I didn't see it in time, and that's it. I'm never going to see it.
Netflix has got All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah, I'll watch it. All Quiet on the Western Front, like 1930, won Best Picture already.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but this is a new version of it. It could be interesting.
Yeah, I read the old one. Go to the library, people.
I love 1912, so you know I love seeing those old movies.
Yeah, 1912 was great.
Avatar, haven't seen. Elvis, we've seen it.
1918. Yeah, that was it, right? Was it 1912? It was 1918.
1918.
Right? Yeah.
Whichever
it was World War One.
Was 1918.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Avatar, The Way of Water. Eventually, you'll see it. Elvis, I didn't like. Tar, I'm going to see because it's got Cate Blanchett. She's always good.
Yeah.
But the thing is she's like a leader of an orchestra or something. I'm like, I don't know if
it's a movie about a conductor.
And
from what I've heard, I haven't seen it.
Sounds
obviously,
like Whiplash. Actually, doesn't it? It sounds like Whiplash. Yeah. Which we already saw a couple of years ago.
I think it's more like Black Swan than Whiplash.
I hated Black Swan. Blech.
What I've heard from people who've seen it is that it's terrible.
All right.
So
I can go for that.
There's that, but it's got great performances, but it's terrible.
Yeah.
I was watching Cannibal Apocalypse the other night. So
Yeah.
You know, there's that. Elvis, the musical numbers are magnificent.
Yeah, but the overall plot was super annoying.
Everything around
super woke.
Terrible.
Yeah, super woke and annoying and just didn't happen. And I'm like, what is this? You know, and I think this whole new genre of rock and roll biography has to end.
Yeah.
We've already seen the good ones. We saw Freddie Mercury. I enjoyed the Elton John one. It was a little bit much, but it was still pretty good. But we don't need rock and roll biographies. Please end this. I don't want to see the Beastie Boys on the big screen being played by, you know, three woke individuals where it's the Beastie Girls, you know?
I
don't need to see it.
You say that now, and then when Butler, the psychedelic furs story, comes out, you're going to be first in line to check that out.
I don't know.
The Madonna movie has been canceled, so you'll be happy about that.
Good. She should be canceled, actually. I'm sick of her.
She wouldn't relinquish
creative
control.
Here's another thing. Here's another everyday horror. What about Madonna's like launch party there for her for her show? Did you watch that disaster? It's like there's all these people that you know don't hang out together, and they're playing Truth or Dare. You didn't see this?
No.
It's about 2 minutes long, and she was basically talking about launching her tour, and Amy Schumer's in there and calls her a bitch, and then what's his name there? I think Jonah Hill. No, Jonah Hill's not in there.
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen's in there.
All the people you're supposed to call because they're
Yeah,
the people,
and it's just like her opener is like this drag guy, and he like goes down on his Evian bottle during the thing, which has been edited since, which I noticed they originally had like a 2.5 minute cut, and they got rid of that sequence for some reason. But it's all just like them, like, oh, let's make out together. It's just ridiculous.
She couldn't get Prince Harry.
And Madonna looks...
He'll do anything for a buck right
Madonna
now.
Madonna looks awful.
Yeah.
It's like, she looks awful. And it's like, there's no shaming here. It's like, you have altered your appearance.
Yeah.
And it's very apparent to everybody around you. But I'm impolite to bring it up. I'm like, what the hell did you do to yourself?
Yeah.
It's like, she's trying to stay relevant. It's like, just retire. Go into that good night and enjoy your millions of dollars. It's like, really? Because all of a sudden she's doing a greatest hits tour. You can't tell me it's just a freaking cash in, because that's all she's doing.
Well, of course it's a cash, but yeah. It's what else is she going to do?
Nothing. Retire. You enjoy yourself.
Apparently she can't.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
She's got castle payments to
make.
That's
ridiculous.
Those castles don't pay for themselves, you know.
Oh, I heard Ozzy is done.
He's done. He can't move anymore.
Yeah.
So that's...
I'm surprised he lasted this long.
So apparently they're trying... He can still sing. Mm-hmm. What he can't do is travel.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to figure out some way of having him perform, like, in a studio or... why did you shut me off?
You're on.
Am I?
You're on mic two and number four.
Oh.
Yeah. You're
fine. There we go.
Yeah.
Either in a studio or in a concert hall somewhere, and then broadcasting it to everybody. Because he still wants to sing.
Yeah.
He still wants to perform. Physically, he can't do it anymore. That sucks.
Yeah.
Because great thing about Ozzy is Ozzy has always been Ozzy.
Yeah.
And he's not sitting around like, oh, I need more plastic surgery. I need to go hang out with people half my age who don't know who I am.
Yeah, he's like, I'm addicted to painkillers.
So that I look important.
I'm still going to show up for the concert. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know?
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Tom Brady also.
Cindy announced. Williams dead. Yeah, Tom Brady I don't care about. Yeah, he's nonsense to me, too. It's like, dude, take your millions and retire. Shut up.
I will believe,
sorry you got divorced, but you're a pain in the ass.
I will believe that Tom Brady has retired. If it is January 2026 and we have not seen him in a football uniform.
Yeah.
2 years. He's got to stay off the field. Then he is retired.
I saw him before he was famous. And even then he was wearing a football jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady is like hardcore football nerd.
At his number at one point. This is before he was big.
Super,
and then
super.
I never heard from him again.
Super, super hardcore football. Well, he got to hang out with Gisele Bündchen.
Yeah.
And invest in Bitcoin. What have you been doing?
I've been doing plenty.
Yeah.
Believe me.
You're not buying Bitcoin and hanging out with Gisele.
Maybe I did.
That's for sure.
Maybe I did.
He's like, yeah, Chris, I've kind of outgrown you.
I like to hold my cards close. Is that what happens? You think people outgrow me?
Maybe. You know,
maybe I outgrow them.
Yeah, possibly.
Or I teach them a little thing about themselves and they go away.
Yeah. I bet Julian Edelman would return your phone calls.
Yeah.
He seems like the kind of guy who would.
I'm good. I don't like meeting new people anymore. Not that much. I don't like being that social anymore. There's too much social nowadays. People just need to work. It's like, go work and find out what you're good at.
I have a kid. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
You know, because I am now entering the phase of my life where I have to navigate relationships with other parents because the kids like each other or the kids are in the same class or the kids or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's...
I have to give you guys credit because I am single and I am still included.
Yeah.
And what has happened in the past with a lot of my friends, as soon as they get married or have kids, especially if they have kids, that's it. I never hear from them
again. Oh, no. Our kid loves you.
Yeah.
Like, he's listening to the show right now, probably. He's sitting there going, Uncle Chris, Uncle Chris.
Yeah.
Like, you're Uncle Chris.
I am a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves you. You can come over anytime you want. Hang out with the kid.
Nice.
You want him for a few hours?
I could babysit.
Like,
yeah.
Don't pimp him out, you know?
No, but I'd babysit.
Like, if you want him for a few hours and you're not going to damage him.
I wouldn't damage him. I'm very good with children.
You're kidding.
I'm very good with kids.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. I had my baby niece over, except now she's, you know, she's four now, so I can't call her that. She's a big girl.
Yeah.
But we watched Little Mermaid. We had some fried chicken, and we played, I got her to play Tubin. Remember Tubin?
I remember Tubin.
She wanted to play Mortal Kombat,
but
I wouldn't put that on. Like, no Mortal Kombat, because it's one of those little ones that has, like, 20 games on it. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Paperboy. We put on Paperboy, Root Beer Tapper. I was teaching how to play that. She was having fun.
You weren't going to teach her how to do the finishing moves in Mortal Kombat?
No.
Come on.
No. Nope.
Come on.
No. Nope. And then me and my brother, we just hung out and we had some chicken, and we had a nice afternoon.
That's
yeah,
a good
we
time.
Had a nice time. And mom was home painting the house, so she was painting a kitchen or something. So
yeah,
she was excited to get the niece out.
I gotta
for
do
a
some.
While.
I gotta do some painting.
Yeah. You got another one lined up? Because I got a couple. If you got something lined up.
I do, but we got like 10 minutes left here. So, you know, how do we make the best use of the time?
Yeah, we always make good use of our time.
You know.
That's my opinion. If we got something to say, we say it. That's how I work.
I don't have anything short is the... You got something short?
Oh, yeah.
Something short.
I got one from the WFMU Beware, the blog that I love. We should probably mention Cindy Williams died.
Yes.
From Laverne and Shirley. And rather than play some Laverne and Shirley, I'm going to play some Esther Rowley. So remember this one. It's Maybe It's. She cut an album. She was from Good Times, and which Good Times mostly was the rise of J.J. Walker.
That oh my!
That's right. And it's such a cool little thing. So she decided to cut an album called The Garden of My Mind. And Esther Rowley played Florida. She was J.J. Walker's mom on Good Times. So this is her singing Maybe It's. And it's very interesting. It's only a minute and a half, but we don't know what she's talking about. Or do we? Let's find out. Here's Esther Rowley with Maybe It's. You're listening to What Is This with Chris and Derek on WMFO in Medford.
I've got a secret I'll never tell. Don't try to ask, I'm under a spell. It's something that's happy, makes me laugh when I'm all alone. Maybe some people think I'm merely a fool. A secret makes me drool. It's found under bushes, in the city, or even the woods. Maybe it's, maybe if your mind could wander far enough away, you might find my little secret in your everyday. You don't know, just look in my eyes. They kind of sparkle like a surprise. It's not hard to figure. Take a wild guess and maybe you'll see. 'Cause maybe it's... Or maybe it's... Or maybe it's love.
I don't know. Maybe it's love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Florida. Get a little, you know, passionate.
That's not a bad way to end it, right? That's not a bad way to end it with love.
Not at all.
There's a guy with yodeling in the background.
Did we get our PSA? I always worry about the PSAs. I probably shouldn't stop
you do.
Worrying about the PSAs.
You want to read one more?
Yeah, I think we can read another PSA.
Why don't you read, what's this one?
PSA binder is in, is in tatters.
It's in horrible shape.
Like, give me a random PSA. Just, like, flip to a page. Throw me something.
Public transit versus walking.
Oh, wow. It's going to be important.
Go. Yeah.
If you take public transportation, good for you. You're helping to save the environment and money, too. But if you aren't getting all the exercise you should be, you might want to consider walking directly to your destination instead of using public transit. Depending on the distance, once you factor in the time it takes to make your way to the T-stop, wait, and then get to your final destination from the station, walking the whole trip can often be faster. And even when it isn't, you're getting good exercise and saving even more money. For example, if it takes 45 minutes to walk where you want to go instead of 30 minutes using the T, you'll get 3/4 of an hour of exercise and fresh air for just an extra 15 minutes of your time. And that's a real healthy deal. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Nice. Sounded good with that yodel in the background there. Space heaters, we don't like them.
No.
We don't like
no
them.
No more space heaters.
WMFO in Medford.
When are we going to ban the space heaters?
What is this with Chris and Derek? We need to ban. You know what? I put on the space heater before I go to bed sometimes.
Whoa. What if you toss and turn in the middle of the night?
The thing is I don't
sleep
much.
And a blanket gets near the space heater.
I always make sure it's so far away, like 7 or 8 feet away.
I don't think that's far enough.
Yeah. The problem is I get into bed, and then I got to get up again to turn off the space heater.
Yeah, because it's too hot.
That's the part that sucks.
You know, here's the one that I hate.
Yeah.
Middle age is coming to get you, kids.
Yeah.
Just be aware of
that's
this.
That's for sure.
3 in the morning, cold winter night, got to go to the bathroom.
Do you? I'm still pretty good.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes
my boss goes to pee like every half hour. I'm like, something's wrong with him.
It's like I'm nowhere near that bad, but every now and again it comes up, and you're laying there, and you're warm in bed, and you know it's cold out there.
Yeah,
and it's like, can I hang on until morning?
Mm-hmm. The answer is never.
The answer is sometimes.
Now you always got to get up to pee. You watched Laverne and Shirley as a kid, right?
Yes.
Tuesday nights, 8:30, I believe it was.
Everybody watched Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, yeah. It became the number one show on television.
Number one show on TV. It was the only thing anybody watched.
Yeah.
It was bigger than Happy Days.
It was bigger than Happy Days. It was an offshoot of Happy Days.
Yeah.
They had Laverne and Shirley show up as dates for a double date with the Fonz and Richie. And then all of a sudden, within like a half a year, they already had the green light, and they made Laverne and Shirley.
I always liked Happy Days better,
mm-hmm.
because Happy Days was more character-driven comedy, whereas Laverne and Shirley was a lot of slapstick.
Happy Days, you may not know this, that's my favorite show of all time.
Is it?
Yeah, it's still Happy Days. Yeah, all the TV shows over the years,
good
and Happy
show.
Days is my number one. But I loved Laverne and Shirley, and I remember one of the things about... I used to watch it with my stepfather, and he liked Laverne, and I liked Shirley. And Cindy Williams just passed away last week at the age of 75.
I am team Shirley. I am definitely a Shirley guy.
Yeah, I liked both of them, and Penny Marshall was just fantastic. It was funny because my dad said Penny Marshall died, and I'm like, you're a little late to the party, Dad. And then she died like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But it happened over the weekend. And what a horrible thing to die over the weekend for a celebrity, because you don't get that news until Monday, usually. And by then, there's other news that happens over a couple of days.
ABC was still talking it up at last night.
Yeah.
So she's definitely getting her due from the network that she helped to build.
Yeah.
And a funny thing was, they were doing a clip package from Laverne and Shirley, and I'm sitting there. I haven't seen Laverne and Shirley since probably the mid-1980s.
Oh, I got all of them on DVD.
But I remembered every single one of those scenes.
Yeah.
And every one of those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh my God, that show was great. Got a little stupid at the end when they went to California.
Yes.
Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, it definitely jumped the shark there, that's for sure.
Shouldn't have done that. Should have stayed in Milwaukee. It was great when they were single girls trying to fend off Lenny and Squiggy and deal with their boss and dating and all the problems that came with life.
Yeah. So next week, more What Is This? We'll bring in some more tracks of just weird things, and then we'll talk about them.
Nice.
And I kind of like doing the everyday horror still, too. We'll have to keep that on as a little segment.
Yeah, there's probably something that we can find every week.
Oh, yeah.
To satisfy that one.
There's definitely plenty. definitely plenty of things that everyday horror is here. All right. Well, thanks, Derek. Hopefully we won't see each other another month. We'll see each other next week.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, if we offended you tonight, that just means it was your turn.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see you next week, everybody. This has been What Is This on WMFO in Medford. Stay tuned for Mellow Max. I've been meaning to ask you about that. I want to know why I would want to do it.
Physical pleasure. Won't you do anything on your planet that includes physical pleasure?
Well, yes. There's one thing, and it's against the law, and I can't tell you.
Oh, wait a minute. We're having a man-to-man talk here or whatever. Tell me.
All right.
Yeah.
When a woman touches a man here, it drives me zazbat.
Let me get this straight. You're telling me if somebody touches you here...
Oh.
What's next?
Well, it only happened to me once. This Zazbot came over me and I couldn't control myself. I became a beast and I jerked her earlobe. I couldn't help it, you understand?
Oh, no! I honestly regret it.
I regret it myself. I understand.
Fonzie! 2 minutes are up.